May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want to ask the church if you would open your Bibles to John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. John 3, verse 1 through 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I am a Gideon, but more importantly, I'm born again. If you had asked me 25 years ago, Alan, are you a Christian? I would say, well, of course I'm a Christian. I was baptized in the church. My dad was a Sunday school superintendent. Every time the doors opened, I was there. As I got older in the church, I took care of church property. I even filled the pulpit at one time for a pastor in his absence. My wife and I were married in the church. 2 weeks ago, it was 58 years, was our anniversary. We have three children. But 25 years ago, there was a tragedy in our life, in our marriage, in our family. We had to deal with grief. My best description, what was absence and the challenges and trials I was dealing at the time, I heard from a friend, a Christian friend, that at his mother's funeral, he heard from the pulpit that joy is which I spell with a capital J. Joy is a deep abiding sense of well-being disconnected from external circumstances. That's what was absence in my life. I started seeking a joy I didn't have, not realizing what I just defined you, what was absence in my life. Thank goodness I had a Christian friend that asked me out for coffee, and understanding my demise or my circumstances, he shared with me, if you would, turn to your word of God, Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's really the first Bible verse that really penetrated my thoughts. I've really encountered a Bible verse that really spoke to me at any other time. It told me that God was sovereign, and that I really can't question his authority. You know, I hear all these things in through my life, but yet that Bible verse spoke to me. But there still was a void in my life. I had a lot of head knowledge, but the application didn't come to the conclusion which I'm getting ready to share. If you would, Go to Ephesians 2, 9 and 8. I started attending a Monday night Bible study, and the teacher at that time shared with the class what grace was. He said grace was unmerited favor. But he also qualified this: don't take my word for it. Go to God's word and verify what I'm saying. So I started searching God's word, and this is what I encountered. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I started processing that and realizing I can't earn my salvation. God did it all for me on the cross. He did it for me as well as he did it for you. I didn't make those connections. And so, February 29th, 2004, I made a confession of faith. I became born again. My life started changing. My behavior was changing. I looked more, less of myself and started looking for the self of others and service. Your behavior starts changing when you become a new Christian. My wife said, what's going on with your life? I said, I think I'm born again. I call it regeneration. When you start reading God's word, and God's word speaks to you in many ways. But in one way that in particular that spoke to me is if you open your word to John 17:3. John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that I might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. One word in there really bounces out at me is no. It's all about a relationship which I didn't have. And so I consider my past as being a nominal Christian. I had head knowledge, and people probably thought I had a Christian walk, but I did not have a relationship with our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so on February 29th, 2004, I got baptized. I made that confession of faith, and I came forward. I was also a Sunday school teacher at the time, but I didn't make these connections. Merle Ann knew me at that time, and she knows exactly where I stand today. So as a Gideon, a lot of people don't understand what is a Gideon. I will share with you, by divine appointment, two men came together in a hotel room. They didn't know one another. They were complete strangers. One was John Hamilton. He stepped up to register for his room. Next to him was a stranger to him, Sam Hill. As he was checking in, they said, now we're totally booked. There's no vacancies here. John, overhearing that, he turned to Sam. He said, I'll share with you my room. John Hamilton was a professional. Sam Hill was a businessman like myself. These two men, during that week, they had fellowship with one another. They started reading the Bible with one another. They started praying with one another. And so what evolved from this is what we have today, the Gideon ministry. A year that was probably much more important is in 1908. We call it the Bible Project. That's when the Gideons adopted the idea of placing Bibles like I'm holding right here in hotel rooms. 1 week after that convention, the Universal Church, I would say, adopted the fact that they would support the Gideon financially of placing Bibles in hotels. Since that time, there's been over 2.5 billion copies of God's Word given to a world in need. This is only possible for the church providing the financial means and for the Gideons being dedicated and obedient and distributing God's Word. Bible today, a case of these costs about $125. The New Testaments that we give out, about $190. So, but again, the financial means is only available through the church. The administration is paid for by the dues that we pay yearly for the administration. There's 270,000 Gideons in the world in over 200 countries. So that helps support the administration side of our ministry. Now, if there's a Bible verse that a Gideon would underline in his personal Bible, if you would, now open your word up to Isaiah 55:11. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. As a Gideon, when we distribute God's word, we experience where men, women, and children become to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's our passion. That's the gospel as an evangelical church looks forward to. There's many testimonies you might have heard, and I'm going to share some ones very brief. It's maybe, well, it's pretty well known. I've heard them before. For instance, Gideons were passing out some New Testaments in a prison, and one of the inmates approached the Gideon and asked for two copies. He said, may I ask, why are you needing two copies? He said, because I roll cigarettes. If you look at the pages of these are very thin. Makes it more cost-worthy, I guess, to print. But he later came back and shared with a Gideon that he read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and read John. So his life was changed. Another situation in Ecuador. Two Gideons were on a street passing out God's word, and a passerby came by. He said, let me tell you what you can do with your God. And he threw it up on a building. So it happened, a person was up on a building having a bad day. I'm not sure it hit him or dropped at his feet, but he picked it up. Notice the two Gideons doing what he's experienced on the sidewalk. He went to share that with the Gideons. This belongs to you. And he said, no, it's yours to keep. Later on, it was shared that, you know, his life was changed. A pastor locally in the town of Batesville shared this story. He was pastoring. This is Pastor Stott. He was a Pentecostal type pastor. He was pastoring a church in Louisiana. He shared this story. He was right on the Mississippi River. There was a barge with a worker on the barge, and on the back of the barge, he was having a bad day. He noticed a swirl of water. He said, if I jumped in that water, no one ever know what happened to me. At the time he was thinking all that, there was a tap tap on the side of that barge. It's a copy of God's Word I'm holding right here. He knew it belonged to a church. He examined it, and so he got off the barge, went to the nearest church, happened to be where Brother Stott was. Brother Stott said the words were still legible, and he led that person to the Lord. That man's life was changed. Another story happened in Northwest Arkansas. I call it a hippie on a motorcycle. He got stranded on a railroad crossing. He was having a bad day. In fact, so bad he pulled a 44 Magnum, put to his temple, noticed off the side of his eyes some movement on the track. He noticed it was a rat. It was carrying something. Took the 44 and tried to shoot it. The rat dropped what he was carrying. He went to pick it up. It was a copy of God's Word, and the only thing that was left was the gospel in the very back. His life was changed. It's miraculous what God's Word, it does not return unto him void. That reinforces to me Isaiah 55:11. In August of 2024, 15 Gideons went to Berkey's prison close to Marianna. I was one of those 15. We went into a cell block, and I encountered a man that was sitting next, or actually sitting on his bunk, and next to him was a Bible. His name was Lewis Melton. And we engaged in conversation, and then he asked me, he said, "What are you here for?" And I was holding a copy of God's Word. This is a brand new copy I've never seen before until I was in that prison. I said, "Well, you know, I'm a Gideon. I'm passing out God's Word." But I noticed he had a Bible there. He said, "Okay." Thinking that he's okay, I said, "Lewis, I want to ask you a question. I'm going to move on." I said, "If you died today, where will your soul spend eternity?" He said, "It's going to be in hell." I'm sitting there thinking, I said, you know, I'm looking at the Bible, and I said, "Well, can I share with you some of the things that I've learned in God's Word and share you the God that I know?" He said, "Well, certainly." He said, "Have you ever read John 3:16? Now, would you look at John 3:16 in your Word?" When I asked Lewis that question, most people have John 3:16 memorized, but he spit it out like I wanted him to. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now, I'm kind of, here's a guy that knows John 3:16 as well as I do. I said, "Lewis, can you tell me what John 3:17? Well, he was deep in thought, I could tell. And he turned to me, he said, "Well, can you tell me?" I said, "Well, certainly I can tell you. For God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but only so that the world could be saved through him." I said, "Lewis, your sins are no different from mine. 8 years ago, you were caught in your sin, and that's why you're paying a price for it. God says all men sin and fall short of the glory of God." Now, in God's Word, which I'm holding here, in the very back, is the gospel. And I said, and I was actually doing this out of my own memory, but I turned to Lewis, I said, "Lewis, I said, there's a remedy for your sin. I said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life is through his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ." That's from Romans 6:23. Lewis turned to me, and this is the exact words. He said, "No one's ever talked to me this way." I said, "Lewis, it's not me talking to you. It's God's Word." I said, "I've got another question for you. If you would, turn to your God's Word to Revelations 10:23. I'm sorry, Revelation 3:20. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. I asked Lewis if he was hearing God knocking at his heart's door. I said, you ready to open that door, Lewis? He said, yes. I was excited. I was even tearing up because this is what I came to prison for. I asked Lewis if he would take this copy of God's word, which I gave him that day. I asked him to sign his name, sign it Lewis Melton, and dated it. And I asked him if he would share this experience with the chaplain of the prison. His countenance changed. From that point on, when I was around him, we had prayer together. And now I have a brother. That's what we do as Gideons. That particular day, I know of four conversions that took place among the 15 Gideons that were there. I normally give a testimony in Memorial Day for those that served in our military. But since we had a birthday of the Army of 250 years yesterday, I'm inspired to do it again, this particular testimony, because it touched a lot of Gideons that have heard this. It took place in Mississippi after Gideon had spoken to the fellowship. A young lady came and approached him and said, I want to share with you the life of my brother, Roger Dale Summerall, and my mother. We were in a household without a father. My mother was very intentional for taking myself and Roger Dale, to church. I made my conversion or confession of faith to the church, but my brother abstained. He kept a distance from the church, really didn't want to come to church, but mother made me come to church, so she said. After graduating from high school, he was drafted in the military and served in the Army. His basic training took place. He was assigned to a unit in Vietnam, and this is in the year 1967. If you go back in your history, that's probably the peak of the conflict at that time. She said my mother was very, really concerned about the physical well-being of her son as well as the spiritual well-being. On a July morning, a military vehicle came to our front door. Two officers exited the vehicle, came to our front door, and my mother responded and greeted the two officers. The officer said that Roger Dale was killed on July the 7th, 1967. My mother grieved heavily, not only about the physical absence of her son, but the spiritual condition that her son, she thought, obviously died under those circumstances. She said she got her duffel bag that following fall of the year, and she started rummaging through his personal belongings and started even smelling his clothes, she said. And I can relate to that. She encountered in the duffel bag a copy of God's word. She went from page to page trying to make some kind of connection. When she got to the very back, which I've shared with you, is the gospel. Roger Dale signed his name, Roger Dale Summerall, July the 2nd, 1967. That's 5 days prior to his death. But Church, this would not have been in Rogerdale's hands if it wasn't for you providing the financial means for our military to have it. I had a grandson just, I got to experience his oath of office going into Marines. He served some time in, or served his basics in California. Got to see him graduate. He was issued one of these copies that I hold here. So it's still being used today. My father even had one in World War II. But those copies are in the hands of our military, both men and women that serve. And thank you for your service, those that served in our military. Watching my time. This is testimony I'm going to share with you. As no one, most families don't escape what I'm going to share with you, and that's drug abuse. This young man said that he's going to take the life of his mom and dad. But God intervened with his word. I'm going to share with you how this has happened. Britt, a father and his wife and three children, lived in Brownswood, Texas. Britt was living the American dream. He had everything going for him. House, family, home, good bank account, until the economy started turning and he was discharged from work. So he started to open up his own business, become self-employed. He started an auto repair center. Within a short period of time, he was not going to be successful. Britt resorted to alcohol. As you would know, the household became very dysfunctional in the absence of the figurehead, the father that was needed. Gideon's were passing out God's word, and I carry one often in my own pocket. And he was given a copy of God's word, and he mentioned to Britt in the very front, if you have a need, like addiction, go to God's word and see how God will speak to you through that need. That's what Britt did. Britt returned to the church, started saying his prayers, dealing with his own addiction. Unfortunately, in the absence of a father head in the household, his son Jonathan committed a crime. He was sentenced to 1 year in imprisonment. After Jonathan's release, he started mixing with the wrong crowd, started smoking marijuana, started using meth. Not being able to be self-supporting, he had to return to the homestead, back home. At that time, he was so agitated because mom and dad was always telling him this and that. He started planning to take the life of his mom and dad. He started putting the plans together, and when this was about to happen, he noticed this copy of God's word that changed his dad. He picked up that copy too. Started reading God's word, and he went to his parents and revealed the plan he was about to happen. Jonathan is back in church as well as his dad, saying his prayers and dealing with his addiction. But what I want to bring to the church about this one copy, if it wasn't a hand of Britt that day that was given by the Gideon, these two lives could end in tragedy. But thank you, church, for providing that copy to Britt's father, Britt and Jonathan, that day that changed the approach to life of which we all should live, and that's through God's word. I'm going to close now with a Bible verse, if you would, turn to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I read that from King James Version. I learned it out of ESV, but put it to you this way. Amazon.com claims to have over 1 million copies, book copies, and I know each author has its own claim, but there's no claim that the Bible claims that it's alive. You might ask, well, what do you mean by that? It is alive. Go to 2 Timothy right now, 3:16. Second Timothy 3:16. I think this should be preached more often from the pulpit, because I never did hear it in my spiritual walk until I was born again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible is only alive in the lives of those that read it. The Gideon Ministry prints God's word in 110 languages. I don't care what language it's in or what translation it's in. God's word will reach to the innermost parts of man and change men and women to be born again. Lord, Church, I just thank you for the opportunity as a Gideon to serve you in distribution God's word, but it's only possible that you provide the financial means where this ministry can go forward. I will ask you to pray for the Gideon ministry, particularly for its leadership. And I will say particularly leadership in our camp here in Independence County. We've lost two strong Gideons. One is a pastor today, Tracy McMahon. You may know the word. You may know that person. But Tracy was a strong Gideon. And his absence, we need new leadership. I know Charles Fuquay has spoke to his church before. He's moved to Bella Vista, another strong Gideon. We still need leadership. So I ask you for your prayer for leadership. Also, I ask for prayers that you keep the schools open in Independence County for distribution of God's word. We are privileged to be in a conservative area where we basically distribute to all schools, including two colleges, UACCB and Lyon College. Those schools are being opened up, but one has been somewhat resistant. We took the Bibles there, but I don't know if they got distributed or not. But yet, we go to all schools. Pray for that to continue happening. And then I ask for prayer for those that want to join in contributing to this ministry, that you pray for how you should give. And lastly, if you're a Christian like myself, what I call a nominal Christian, and the testimonies you've heard today, you feel like you want to respond, if you want us to pray for you or you want to make that confession of faith, I ask for you to do that today. Brother Randy, you want to join me here?
All right, thank you. Yeah. We appreciate it, Brother Allen. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to sing our final song together. And we're going to ask Brother Allen, I believe, is going to take up a collection for the Gideons. If you came prepared to give to that, we would appreciate it. I've also asked Brother Bobby to assist with that. One of them will be at both locations where you tend to exit. So just so you know, I believe he said this, but just so you know, everything you give goes to printing Bibles. Every Gideon pays dues that cover all administration, all of those kinds of things. So even the mission trips, they pay for out of their own pockets to be able to go. So every dollar you give does go toward the printing of Bibles, and we do want you to know that, okay? So let's sing together this this hymn about the Word, and if you do have a need, if you have a desire to come forward to know the Lord, we certainly want to talk to you. If you've received the Word and you want to confess Him in baptism, or if you want to join the church, you can certainly do that, or just need counsel, we do invite you to come. So let's sing one verse of Ancient Words. So.